I am your host, Paul Mitters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. I do my show from the Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side, right when you walk into the store. Got the ESPN 1430 radio banner behind me, First String Sports banner, Central Valley Sports Report hanging off the table. This is definitely the place to be. I love this time every Saturday, where I can bring you guys all the great stuff that's happening up and down the central section. Today, we have a loaded show. I'll probably say that every week, right? But this is especially loaded. I got four different guests coming on. This is going to be a basketball-heavy show. Can you guys believe it? We're already in what's considered phase three of the basketball season. Seems like December just started. But league play started this week. Teams usually play 10 games in league. I know there's some leagues that have kind of a funky schedule. There's seven teams in league. But, for the most part, each team plays 10 games in league. And, just completed our first week. And, this is an exciting time. On Thursday, Gabe Camarillo and I were able to broadcast Fresno Christian and Carruthers. That was a fun game to broadcast. We'd like to give love to everybody in the central section. So Fresno Christian came away with a victory over Carruthers. They got a really good team. Coach John Penberthy has done a really good job as the Eagles head coach. You know, his brother, Mike Penberthy, a Hoover legend, NBA champion. Not only as a player, talking about Mike, I got to get Mike on the show one of these days. But for the Denver Nuggets last year, he was a consultant for the team, and he worked for the team. So anyway, he's got two different rings, Mike Penberthy. But anyway, basketball heavy show today. Who do I got coming on? Well, after the break, Cooper Steele, the girls' basketball coach at Clovis. His girls last night defeated Clovis North. They are now 12-8 on the season, 1-1 in track. Buchanan beat them on Tuesday, so nice comeback win for the Lady Cougars. So Coach Cooper Steele after the break. And then at the bottom of the hour, probably around 10:35 or so, it's going to be a Sierra invasion. We got the Central Section's all-time leading scorer, Logan Kilbert. So I had my show, obviously, last week, starting at 10 o'clock, 10 to 12. And later that day, there was a huge showcase at Sanger High School. Logan Kilbert became the all-time Central Section's leading scorer. He scored 36 points in a win against Edison. Yeah, they beat that Edison 62-60. Can't wait to talk to Logan Kilbert. And he's also bringing along one of his classmates, Luke Brown, who hit the game-winning three-pointer to take that 62-60 lead. He hit the game-winning shot. Pretty darn awesome. So he's coming on the show, and Coach Ryan Watt. We know about Sierra's run last year that they had to the state title game in Division Five. Those Road Warriors lost the Central Section title game to Kingsburg. But then they went ahead and went all the way to the state championship game in Sacramento. So looking forward to talking to those three. That's going to be coming up at the bottom of this hour. At the top of hour number two, Dinuba Boys basketball coach Jeff Schofield. It's a hidden gem, man. It's Dinuba basketball program. They are 17-3. Won on the road last night at Tulare Western, 67-59. Last year, I think they went 25-6. 24-6, something like that. They beat Central last year in D2 playoffs. Eventually lost, I think, in the semifinals to Sanger, I believe. But, it's a great program that they have down in Dinuba. So looking forward to talk to Jeff. We talked to him last year, but it's always good to catch up with him. Bottom of hour number two, for the first time ever, Clovis West boys coach Vance Wahlberg is coming on. They got Little Hoopsters going on. That's always a big deal in Clovis Unified. So Saturdays are usually super, super busy for basketball programs. But Coach Wahlberg, man, I've been meaning to have him on the show since my show started a couple years ago. He's coming on. They are 17-3, just like they knew, but 17-3. They defeated Clovis East last night, 79-54, a game I went to. That game was 27-24 at halftime. And the Golden Eagles, like they always do, put together a really, really good half. Really good half. They scored 52 points. They got a very balanced team this year. We know about the history of Coach Wahlberg, his first stint at Clovis West, incredible program that he had there. State title games he played in. Just a legendary coach. Legendary. Invented the dribble drive. We're going to get into some stories with him. So there's a great story with John Calipari. He went to his camp when he was coaching at Fresno City. they were hanging out. They were at a steakhouse after the clinic that Coach Wahlberg went to, and just sitting at a table. And Calipari asked Coach Wahlberg, "Hey, so what offense do you run?" He goes, "What, really? You're asking me?" So Coach Wahlberg, using sugar packets, salt shaker, showed him the dribble drive offense. Calipari was extremely intrigued. He implemented in his program when he was at Memphis. They were number one in the nation for a while, and the rest is history. They got a great relationship. I mean, Vance, he's among the who's who among coaches in the nation. And you can say worldwide, man. He's taken his clinics overseas as well. So really looking forward to talking to Coach Wahlberg at the bottom of hour number two. All right, a little bit of football news before we hit the break here. What a crazy, crazy, I don't want to say 72, 40, 48 hours in the football world. Belichick, New England Patriots, out. Saban retires. And you knew that the chain would just, the dominoes would start falling with that. And I got a very intense, I could say, text thread with some of my buddies. And we're talking about, well, who's gonna coach Alabama? They're throwing out a bunch of names. And I just casually put, what about Kalen DeBoer? And sure enough, he got the job. I mean, just 3 short years ago, Coach DeBoer was here at Fresno State. And obviously, we watched him in the national championship game for Washington. And what an incredible rise for Coach DeBoer. And everybody that I've talked to about Coach DeBoer says the same thing. He's the nicest guy ever. Extremely, extremely helpful. Gracious, kind, genuine, all those things describe Coach DeBoer. So congratulations to him, new head coach at Alabama. That is absolutely amazing. And I don't know, are we going to be some Alabama fans here in the Central Valley because of Coach DeBoer? I think so. We're invested in him, and he loves the Central Valley as well. So again, congrats to him. I got a little bit of breaking news. I don't know if you heard the top of the hour. We do that Sports Center break. Well, their game got moved to Monday at 1:30. It was supposed to be played Sunday at 10 o'clock, but due to the weather and safety, I mean, that huge blizzard and snowstorm that's blowing through there, it's been moved now to Monday at 1:30 on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. All right, a couple more things before we hit the break and talk to Cooper Steele. A little bit more football. I know we tried to wrap everything up in the last couple weeks. However, a couple huge awards. I want to give shout-outs to two players we talked a lot about for the last 4 months, I should say. Bryson Donaldson from Central Valley Christian, Valley champ, state champ, led the state in rushing. He was named Cal High Sports Medium Schools Player of the Year. So they do a large school, a medium school. So Bryson Donaldson won the Player of the Year for the medium schools. The small school Player of the Year, how about this? Hunter Babb of Carruthers, he won it. He was number two in the state, guys, in rushing to Bryson Donaldson. So we have in the central section, how cool is this? The medium schools Player of the Year and the small schools Player of the Year. Really, really, really neat stuff. All right, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. And when we return, we're going to talk with girls basketball coach at Clovis, Cooper Steele, on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour, every weekday at 2 p.m. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
I want to also thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring 1430 ESPN. Right now it's 43 degrees, high of 49, so only a difference of 6. It's a 45% chance of rain, I think, right now. I don't know, pretty interesting about that. But it's biting cold. Biting cold. You walk outside and hit your ears and your nose. And, yeah, it's pretty cold out there. So thanks to Elise Air Plumbing and Heating for sponsoring all of our sports stations here on sports shows, I should say, on 1430 ESPN. All right, full slate of football games. I mentioned that Steelers and Bills game has been moved to Monday. Got Browns and Texans later today. Dolphins, Chiefs, that's going to be an interesting one. Packers and Cowboys, Jordan Love. Got to mention another Central Section quarterback from Liberty Bakersfield taking on them Cowboys tomorrow at 1:30. Rams and Lions, I don't know, man. That's a dangerous game for the Lions for sure. And then Eagles and Buccaneers, that's on Monday night at 5:15. Want to bring on Cooper Steele, girls basketball coach at Clovis. They're 12-8. defeated Clovis North last night, 77-36. Coop, you got who's your football team? I don't know. Have we talked about this before? You got an NFL football team you root for?
You know, it's kind of funny. I watch football every weekend, but I've never really, you know, picked a team. I'm kind of more of a baseball guy when it comes to following a team.
I didn't know that. All right, are you a San Francisco Giants follower? Who's your baseball team?
I'm a Boston Red Sox guy all day.
How did that happen? How'd you fall in love with the Sox?
Just dad. Dad always loved them, watched them all the time, so kind of grew up with it.
Did you cry when they finally broke through and won the World Series?
Well, you know, it's funny. You know, I was only 15, so I've been pretty spoiled as a Red Sox fan. I didn't have to live through the bad years.
You didn't. So you don't remember the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs, but you just seen highlights of that.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard about it, but I didn't have to live through it. So I'm like, I don't know what you guys are complaining about. We got four in
that's
four
right.
In my lifetime already.
That's right. It became easy after that first one, man. What took them so long, right? All right, so, yeah, Coop, first of all, happy New Year. So last night you guys had a nice win against Clovis North coming off of that loss to Buchanan on Tuesday. Last night's win must have felt pretty good, right?
Yeah, I thought we got back to, you know, our principles, and we did a good job, you know, rebounding from that game Tuesday. And we did a good job. I thought defensively we were good. We ran our stuff well. I just thought our energy was much higher going into that game, and the girls were prepared, and it was a good night overall.
Good. So practices, on Wednesday and Thursday. How did those practices go? Did you just come out, with a little more fire in those practices? Did the girls take on, you know, themselves what they needed to do, or what were the practices like?
You know, it was just about keeping high energy. You know, you're going to have tough losses. You're gonna not feel great about yourselves after certain games, but it's how you respond. You know, it's how you get into the drills the next day. We didn't come in and, you know, change much up. We just did what we do, and it was nice to see our younger kids. You know, we're pretty young. We have 9 freshmen and sophomores on varsity, so it was nice to see them and our few seniors really do a good job of leading them. Like, okay, bounce back, get into our drills, get into our stuff. You know. It's about the next one. It's not about the last one.
So you mentioned defensively, you felt like you guys played really well last night. Are you guys just doing straight up man to man, or did you pick up full court? Did you put on a little press against Clovis North?
Yeah, we put on a little press. We do most of what we do out of man to man. So sometimes we do it full court. You know, sometimes we change how we guard, but we base most of everything we do out of man to man.
All right, so who stepped up and played really well last night?
Well, first thing I want to say is pretty cool is we had every single player score last night. And I thought that was just really neat, and we shared the ball really well. We moved the ball. Everybody stepped up with confidence. And, yeah, it's really nice when everybody in the book gets the score. So that was awesome. But, you know, I thought our seniors, Kaya Simeon and Deja Lee, did a good job of leading us, you know, as far as stepping it up defensively, stepping it up in the scout team and talking about who's who, preparing us and stuff like that. So I really thought those two did a great job.
And, you know, one of the fun things in basketball games, especially when you have a large lead like you had, is, you know, you get some bench players some time, those kids that work hard in practice every day, and to see the others cheer when their teammates score late in games. That's one of my favorite things, and I'm sure your girls did that last night, didn't they?
Yeah, they did a great job. We have some awesome pictures of our bench just absolutely going crazy. But, you know, what I was proud of is they were focusing on our principles. You know, you get into a situation like that, and sometimes you're just worried about scoring. But our older kids were doing a really nice job of communicating on the bench, hey, you know, get to the helpline, make sure we switch that, like still teaching each other and still talking to each other. Yeah, they went crazy when we hit a bucket, but it was also a lot of building throughout that. And, you know, those kids need that time to get better, not just put their name in the scorebook.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking with Cooper Steele, head girls basketball coach at Clovis High. All right, so you mentioned how young you are. what did you say, 9 freshmen and sophomores on your team this year. You got a couple pretty special sophomores in Sadie Sin and Yasmin Aguilera. So talk about those two girls and what they bring to the court and some of their skill sets.
Yeah, I mean they're phenomenal basketball players, and it's, you know, kind of a funny story. We're over here at Little Hoopsters right now, working with the next generation of kindergarten through 6. But you see, you know, when we're setting up, there's basketballs out, there's hoops out, and Sadie and Yaz run right to a basketball and start shooting and playing horse and stuff like that. And it's just kind of nice to show the other girls, like, what? That's why they're good basketball players. You know, they put the time in, they're gym rats, they always want to be playing basketball. So that's just kind of a side note of why they're as good as they are. But, yeah, Sadie's turning into an absolutely tremendous point guard. I mean, she's always had the skills, but now she's becoming a leader and vocal and communicate things. Yasmin's turning into a scorer all around, not just a spot-up shooter. And she's really turning on the defensive end. There was a game up in the West Coast Jamboree where we were really having trouble guarding the girl, and Yasmin guarded her, and we came back from 16 points down because Yasmin shut her down. So that's my favorite part of their game, leadership and defense. So it's really nice to see that coming along.
Yeah, that's tough, right? Those girls were freshmen last year, and you had a couple really good seniors last year that led the team. But, you know, they got to take that jump in leadership from a freshman to a sophomore. You know, it's a little bit easier probably from a sophomore to a junior, or obviously a junior to a senior. But that's pretty impressive that they have to step into a leadership role now as sophomores.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch. It's been really nice to hear them talk about things and take control. Like, and you know, our staff is always trying to, what do you think, Sadie? You know, what do you think, Yasmin? And their answers are really turning into well thought out game plans instead of just, you know, maybe saying what we want to hear and stuff like that. So it's been fun to watch those two turn into leaders and still be so young. You know, like you said, it's not like they're all of a sudden seniors. They're still only sophomores, but they're really becoming leaders.
Yeah, what a blessing that you're going to have those girls, obviously, through the rest of the year, but for the next 2 years as well. Let's talk. You mentioned those tournaments that you played in. Obviously, you at the beginning of December, you played in that really tough tournament. You had 3 losses in that, but you guys have bounced back very, very nicely. You know, talk about that tournament win. Was it called the Best of the West tournament? We beat Harvard Westlake. The Jamboree. Got it. The Jamboree, where you beat Harvard Westlake, Pleasant Valley, and Chaminade.
Yeah. So that was pretty wild. I mean, so we were in the Diamond Division, which is, you know, basically the second highest division that top tier division has, the Sierra Canyons and Folsoms and teams like that. So we were in that next division, and, you know, we're looking at Harvard Westlake on film, and they loaded. They're very athletic, and we ended up beating them in overtime. Yasmin hit a 3 with about 20 seconds left to go up 3 in overtime, which was huge. And then we played Pleasant Valley, who has 2 really phenomenal players. We were down 16 points at halftime and came back and pulled away. Sadie hit 4 free throws in the last 20 seconds to win it. And then Chaminade was great, too. They were huge. They were big, and we played neck and neck with them. And, again, Yasmin hit a 3 to go up 1 with about 20 seconds left. And we were able to get a couple stops down the stretch.
That's pretty awesome. So these scores, just for reference, you mentioned the overtime win against Harvard Westlake. That was 49-45, then 49-46 over Pleasant Valley, and then 57-54 over Chaminade. Let's just say your biggest victory was the overtime game by 4. The other games were 3. That's pretty great. But how did the girls, you know, you mentioned the 16-point comeback and hitting those free throws, but late in the game, especially with your girls that are so young that we talked about, late in the game, how important are those every possession, defensively, offensively, you know, getting good shots in those situations, knowing, you know, every little detail? How important is that for every ball game?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, and it's so nice that we're able to play in some of those games because, you know, we know every league game will be tough, and we'll probably come down to possessions at the end. So I think it was good because the Oxnard tournament was kind of the same way, very close, and we didn't come out on top in those games. And then we flip it and come back and, you know, just a couple weeks later come out on top. So I think our girls are understanding, and not only those plays late, but the couple plays early. You know, the three plays we didn't block out early where we got ourselves in an eight point deficit. And, you know, now we're fighting back instead of doing our job for 32 minutes. Then we don't have to make a huge comeback. So, yeah, we're starting to learn how much every single possession matters.
Yeah, it certainly does. You usually have a team motto for a season. You got a team motto for this year, or what is this year's team motto?
Well, we always go with, you know, 24, 84, earn it. That's our big thing, and we use that as our culture builder. And, you know, quickly kind of what that means is we talk about 24 hours a day you have, you know, to do the right thing. You know, get good grades, eat right, sleep right, you know, be a good person, rest, all things like that. And then in 84, is our court is 84 feet. And in that time, you have to earn everything. You know, everything you have to earn. You want playing time, you got to earn it. You want to start, you got to earn it. You want to rebound, you got to block out and earn it. You know, so we have really, it's been fun kind of building that motto throughout our culture. Again, we're here at Little Hoopsters, and they're screaming 24, 84, earn it, you know, kindergartners. So it's pretty cool. So that's definitely our motto and what we go by as a program.
That's fantastic. All right, we got about another minute here, Coop. 5:30 start times for most of your games this season. I know you guys rotate every other year. Do you like that 5:30 start time? Is it like, okay, we got the game early, you probably got to plan your meals maybe a little bit before and get a big meal afterwards and maybe watch the boys game. Do you like that 5:30 start time?
There's positives to both. I would say I like both start times equally. You know, it's kind of fun to, you know, get out of work, change, hustle, and then we're going. You know, yeah. There's something to not sitting around thinking about it all day. You know, it's nice to sit and watch the boys' game without stressing out about your game. And I like both. And then the 7 o'clock game is nice also because you're kind of the primetime game. So I think both are nice. I really love the six packs, how we do that in our league. I think it's really awesome.
I do too. You know, if there's a really good girls game, I want to go check out at 5:30 and then go to a boys game at 7 o'clock. It's good for the fans as well. So, Coop, always enjoy catching up with you. You got Clovis East and Clovis West. We know what you did last year at Clovis West. That was a monumental win for your program. You're going to there next, looks like on the 19th, next Friday. And then Central, they got a really good team. And then there's Buchanan again. So the track is loaded as always. Always love watching your program play, Coop. Have a good rest of the Saturday. I know you're not a big NFL guy, so hope you get some time to relax a little bit and take a breath. So always enjoy talking to you, my friend. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you having me.
You bet. All right. We're going to take a break. We got the Sierra guys are in the house. Coach Ryan Watt, a couple players, Logan Kilbert, Luke Brown, coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
1430 ESPN, home of March Madness. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right. Welcome, Central Valley Sports Report. Basketball heavy edition here. Wouldn't want to have it any other way. We got Sierra coach Ryan Watt, Central Section all-time leading scorer. Probably, are you used to that yet, Logan? Logan Kilbert here?
No.
Central Section leading scorer. That's probably how you're going to be introduced every time you do anything media-wise. Central Section leading scorer, Logan Kilbert. Luke Brown put the game-winning shot last Saturday to defeat Edison. Last night, you guys beat Riverdale 92-38 to improve to 10-8 on the season. I think that was my phone. There you go. All right, turn my phone off. Well, first of all, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Yeah, happy Saturday to you. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. We're going to talk a little bit about the Edison game. Obviously, that was a monumental game in many different ways. But what's going on this weekend? You guys relaxing? No game today, right? So maybe a light shoot around or something like that. You got a 3-day weekend. No school on Monday. So what's the agenda for the weekend?
Yeah. So we talked about it last night that this is the only Saturday they'll have off for the next 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and until we go into playoffs. And so I said, hey, we're just going to give you guys, you know, Saturday, obviously Sunday off, and, you know, get back to practice on Monday. But, you know, we've played the last couple Saturdays. We had tournaments over the break. And so we haven't had probably a Saturday off, and I don't know when. So I said, hey, enjoy it. You know, just rest, spend time with the family, and you know, and then we're coming on the show today. So,
and you guys are gym rats, I'm sure. So you got to get some shots up somewhere, right? Where are you going to get your shots up today, Logan?
Today? Not today.
No? Not even in your yard? No,
I can't today.
Okay, all right. How about you?
Honestly, I think I'm with Logan on that one. I think
I'm just going to rest your whole entire body. All right, so last night against Riverdale, obviously a huge win. I saw the box score, running clock in the fourth quarter. So, you know, last night, Coach, start with you. You know, what was the game plan going against Riverdale? Obviously, you're going to be able to rotate guys a little bit differently than that tough game against Edison last week. But what was the game plan last night? How did it execute?
Yeah, so we had some team goals last night. Like, one of our goals was 100 points. Another goal was 20 assists. I believe we hit 19 or 20.
Okay.
We got, you know, to 92. And obviously with a running clock in the fourth quarter, a little bit harder.
Yeah.
And we try to tell our guys, don't foul and, you know, just look for your best first shot and go get it and kick it out and try to maybe hit another three. So just some simple team goals. We had a couple other goals, you know, trying to catch it on the curl and get up the court and really push the ball and, you know, just stay in those things that are going to get us better, you know, not only for that game and other guys, but throughout, you know, pushing us and getting us ready for playoffs.
Sure. So. Logan, so last night's game, you know, obviously – you know, it was a running clock game. So what was your, like, goal in that game? Just play basketball and get some of my other teammates involved?
Yeah. I would say one of my goals was not to create bad habits because you just want to, like, create good habits for the playoffs when playoffs come around and just stay consistent.
Luke, how'd you play last night?
I did all right, but
he was on fire. That's not a lie. That's not a lie.
That's not a lie.
Yeah, I was trying to, you know, just be a point guard, push the ball up, hit my teammates, and hit Logan, you know, in transition, try to get ready for playoffs.
So, Coach, let's go ahead.
Well, let's not lie, Luke. Come on. That was one of your better games last night. He had two coast-to-coast, back-to-back rebound scores, then came down, hit another three, came down. You know, he was balling.
I guess.
Gotta love that stuff, man, when you're just feeling it out there. Let's go back, guys, to last Saturday. Logan, first of all, I want to ask you, did you really know, like, the magnitude of what could happen in that game? Obviously, you're 25 points away from breaking the Central Section record, historical program in Edison, right? That was the intriguing matchup that when you look at that schedule at Sanger, like, Sierra and Edison, who couldn't imagine that game 4 or 5 years ago? Did you, like, I'm being serious, right?
100%. Yeah, like, 100%.
I mean, Edison and Sierra, who would have thought about that game? But, so, Logan, going into that game, did you just have a little bit extra juice? Like, what was your mentality going into that game?
I was pretty nervous going into the game. I knew I was, like, 20-something points away because everybody just started talking about it. But I try to clear my head for the game because if you start thinking about it, you just start missing shots, and it's not what I wanted to do. But I kind of knew the magnitude of the game.
So what, like, obviously, you know, you got that in the back of your head, the scoring record, but you want to win the game, right? And it was just a perfect scenario for both, and both both happened. How should I frame this? When you hit that three to break the record, what was that feeling like, first of all?
A lot of hard work paid off, in my opinion. But honestly, couldn't have done without my teammates, so much respect to them.
Well, like, did you know at that moment? Did they stop the game, Coach?
What happened. Coach was so locked in. You know, I was so locked in. We had an assistant coach that had the little clipboard and, you know, we told them, you know, no players are to know where he's at,
yeah,
and especially Logan. And I knew he had 22 at the half, and we talked about it right at the break, and then, you know, talked about, okay, what adjustments and what do we need to do for the second half, you know, as a coaching staff. And then we went in, talked to the team. You know, we come out and, you know, we get into the game, and it was maybe 2 minutes into the third quarter, I think, and he hits the three. And, you know, I'm locked in on, you know, all right, where are we supposed to be at and getting back and, you know, defensive assignments. And you know, they inbound the ball, and I'm, and my coach is, you know, my other coach stands up. He's like, hey, that was it. That was it. I'm like, gosh, dang it. So thankfully we got a deflection out of bounds, I think, or they, I don't remember if they turned it over or whatnot, but we called timeout right then. And then
Okay. They
made a little announcement and everything. That's cool. But I was so locked in, you know, we were focused on the game, and I mean, it's a, like Logan said, it's a lot of hard work that he's put in, and you know, couldn't do it without great teammates, but also couldn't do it without his competitiveness and his attitude for just saying, hey, I'm going to get better, I'm going to be better, and you know, just working towards that year after year.
And it was a legit three, man. It was beautiful. I've seen a couple angles of it. Left-hand side, kind of in the corner, perfect form, fading a little bit. So that was really cool. All right, Luke, when this guy here, when he broke the record, what was going through your mind?
I didn't even know he broke it at first. But when I found out, like, the work this guy puts in, you know, it's crazy. So, and we played together since we were, like, ever since we could walk. And it's crazy to just, you know, watch it happen and be a witness.
Logan, I'm sure that wasn't even a goal of yours. It wasn't even on your radar, right? Like, when did you first, like, the points start piling up? You hit that 1,000 mark. That's like, okay, that's cool, right? And then you get to 2,000. When did it become a reality? Like, maybe even when did the first person mention it to you? Hey, here's the Central Section record. You got a chance to break this thing.
Mm-hmm. The first time anyone ever said anything to me was right when we started the state playoffs last year, because it wasn't on my radar at the time. And I was like 800 away, and we knew if we got more games, that's just a better opportunity for it to happen, and it happened.
And it happened, and you stayed relatively healthy, right? Mm-hmm. Kept putting up points on a consistent basis, and here you are. Luke, how many assists do you think you've given this guy for
points,
right?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know.
Do we need to put a little, you know, a little check mark?
An asterisk, yeah.
Yeah, I got to be a part of that, right?
That's funny. Yeah, we've been playing together since we were, since we were freshmen, so transferred up here. I mean, he's got a lot of points, so I feel like I'd have a few assists to him.
Well, yeah, let's flip it, though, Logan. How many times you passed the ball to this guy for a three? Well, there you go. Okay, you guys help each other.
Help
each other. All right. Let's just open it up to all three of you guys. Who's the best shooter right here out of all three?
Luke Brown.
Huh?
Luke Brown right here.
I don't know. Actually, we may have to have a shooting call.
100% Luke Brown.
All right. Logan said it.
I tell these guys all, like 10 years ago, I would have had them one-on-one, shooting competition, everything.
I know I can outshoot this guy.
No. Now, yes. 10 years ago, though, no.
And Logan, you're what, 6'3", 6'4"?
Yes.
What do you listen to that? Luke, what about you?
I'm 6'4".
6'4"? Is that what we're calling that?
6'4" on max prep.
Stop lying.
I'll say I'm actually, with no shoes, I'm like 6'3", but, you know, max preps, I'm 6'4".
Okay, so max press is 6'4". Is that true? I got to check that out. I got my computer here.
Maybe 6'2". Maybe 6'2".
Tape measure.
You taller than Coach?
No, not at all.
Huh?
Not at all.
Coach, you know what? I talked to some coaches. You know, when we get up there in age, right, we can't do the drills like we used to be able to do.
Yep.
How you still try to mix it up with some of these guys, show them how to do a drill, and then you're like, oh, man I can't do it like I used to.
Yeah, just, you know, like I said, 10 years, but even in the last five, I mean, it starts falling off fast. And when you're not picking up a ball every day and you know, even dribbling, shooting, right, and trying to go at a high level, and then, you know, you're going against 17, 18-year-olds, yeah. You know, they're you know, a little talk smack, and, you know, you try to do something, you're like, oh, man, my mind's telling me something, body's doing another. And so I've got great assistants. They try to come out there, and now, you know, you got it, a key to a successful program is having young guys to go against them and keep them in check when they can,
Then we got to Then we got to do our old man moves.
That's right. Back him down in the post. They ain't stopping me.
Wrap him up a little bit and bring him down with the elbow and all that fun
stuff. That's right.
You know, you mentioned the state, and I mentioned my opener, that incredible run that you had last year. It was just a magical run. It was four games on the road, right, Coach, on the way to the Central Sec or the state championship game?
One at home and then three on the road. And the state game obviously is on the road.
When you look back at that, does it still like seem like an out-of-body experience? Well, I mean, how do you frame it about a year later?
Yeah. As coaches, we still talk about it. Just a special time with a special group of guys, a special group of coaches. And, even my own son came home just recently, and some of our guys came to the Edison game, and we had about four former players there. And, they even talked about it like, hey, we didn't even realize in the moment how special this was. And now they're coming back and, kind of like brothers. They still have a group chat that I'm not in, and they even talk about like, hey, like I want this group chat to go on for years. And to hear that and the relationships that they've built is just special. And so, it was a crazy time, a wild ride. And like I told our coaches, there's no money, there's nothing that could ever, replace that. And that's just a special time
that
we'll never forget ever.
Talking to Ryan Watt, Luke Brown, Logan Kilbert of Sierra High School. I want to go back a little bit. We skipped over this, the part about the Edison game where Luke actually hit the game-winning shot. With a lot of attention on this guy to my left, Logan Kilbert, 36 points, all-time Central Section record, awesome. But in a big moment with a good amount of people there in the gym at Sanger, a lot of people say, hey, let's check out this Sierra team. Let's see if they're real. We heard about what they did last year. They got a really good score, right? A lot of people wanted to check out your squad. This guy came up big. Made the shot when it mattered. Luke, I want to ask you, were you coming out of a timeout? I don't lead up to that play. Coming out of timeout, was it just rotate the ball, look for a good shot, or what was the situation like?
So I don't remember.
Well, you're down one, right?
What play we were running?
We had an OB play.
We were running an OB play. It didn't end up working out. Coach Watt just told me to fly to the corner because it was wide open. Tanner Forster passes to Chase, and Chase Dirksen trusted me and passed me the ball, and then Coach Watt said, let it fly. So let it fly, and I'm just grateful that my teammates trusted me to take that shot. So
about 3 seconds left.
They doubled Logan. We ran an OB play. Yeah. They doubled Logan. We skipped it over the top. Chase Dirksen, by the way, also gave not only the game-winning assist to Luke, he also gave Logan his assist for the record-breaking three. And so Chase got it, and I told Luke to flare out over on our side of the bench. And as that ball was in the air to him,
he said, "Let it fly."
I said, "Let it go," And I said, "Knock it." Knock it down.
But it's awesome because when your coach trusts you like that, it's really special.
And as soon as he let it go, and all the coaches even said it, they were like, "That's good."
That's good.
So, yep.
Everything looked good on that, man. You didn't hesitate either. You didn't hesitate.
I've seen that three a lot of times, guys. So I knew it was good.
And so, Coach, what did that win mean? Beating Edison, being a Division I program like that?
Yeah, and Edison's head coach, Mike, and I, through the years of coaching at different schools and different areas, we've become friends and everything. And, you're going against Edison, the school that's four, five, six, maybe times bigger than your school. And, I know our guys were going to be up for it. I'm sure, Mike didn't want to see us, but, if you would have told me we were going to beat Edison, even earlier this year, last year, whatever, I'd have been like, you're crazy, but we gave ourselves a chance to win, and they got hot in the third. We came back and hit some key shots, and then, put the ball in your players' hands and let them be successful. And so when a kid like Luke has put in all that time and all those shots, hey, we just presented him with that opportunity, and he knocks it down. So couldn't be more proud. What he's not telling you too is that his grandfather's funeral was earlier that morning, and we talked. I didn't even know that. Talks to me after the game, what an array of emotion that day for him. And so like you said, the gym was packed. The games were running late that day. There was, you know, the next game to the next game, guys had already shown up. And so, you know, for that many people to be there and just the energy and excitement in the gym, and for Luke to knock that down and Logan to break the record and us to beat Edison, what a trifecta of, you know, what an amazing day. So yeah. We went to Team Pizza. Logan's dad treated everybody and said, you know, hey, how often do you break a central section record?
And beat Edison.
And yeah. Beat Edison. Yeah.
That's amazing. Coach, I want to give you a minute or two to talk individually about these two boys here to your right, both seniors, what they mean to your program on and off the court. Start with Logan.
Yeah. Logan, you know, infectious smile. Same as his brother Luke right here, but what a fierce competitor. He hates to lose. It doesn't matter if he and I are playing a free throw shooting competition. It doesn't matter if he's going against my daughter, who's an eighth grader, and they're, you know, jawing back and forth. It does not matter. He hates to lose. And his attitude does change when he does lose. And you try to leave after – you know, a game that you beat him at, he's like, no, one more. We're going one more. We're going one more. And so, and that's what makes him special. That's what makes him the central section, you know, points leader, because he's not going to back down against anybody. Doesn't matter. You know, it takes that type of attitude and that kind of willingness to get in a gym, get shots in, work on his game. You know, he even talks about it from his freshman year to now. Whereas freshman year, it was, you know, getting to the basket or shooting threes. And now he's developed. Now he's scoring from all three levels, from a little touch floater to the little mid-range 15 pull-up. Whatever it is, he's going to find a way to get his shot off. He's going to find a way to beat you because he hates to lose. And so when you have that type of attitude of saying, hey, I'm just going to figure it out, let's go, let's battle, and you get knocked down, he gets right back up, and he's ready to go again. So
that's awesome. What about Luke?
So as you can see, Luke's smile, the team talks about it, everybody talks about it. You know, how can you not like this kid? Same type thing, though. He has a shirt given by one of our assistant coaches, and it's a picture of, you know, like some lungs, and it's got a dog in it, and the old saying is, you know, Luke's got that dog in him. And same type attitude, though. He's ready to go against anybody. Doesn't matter, you know, he's ready to battle. And the time and effort that he's put in also is, I mean, he's calling our I know he's getting a hold of our assistants. Coach, can we get in the gym? I need to get my shots in. I need 200 makes. I need this. I need that. And, I'm spending time with my family or something, and I'm like, okay, call Coach Eric. You know, call Coach Bird. Call Coach Evan. You know, whatever it might be, and see if you can get in, because I might not be able to. But, you know, whether it's early mornings, late at night, I've got great assistant coaches and you know, guys that are willing to open up the gym when these guys call. And so, but, you know, over the last 4 years, these guys are like sons to me. And the relationships that they have with my family, my own daughters, my daughter calls them her big brothers. And they're actually going to a birthday party today for my family.
Oh, that's great.
So, you know, just special kids, not just on the court, off the court. And I'm very thankful for them, you know, off the court as well. So
that's fantastic. Yep. Luke, I got to mention that shirt, man. Open it up a little bit. Let me check. Yeah, so sure. It's one of those old school 1996 NBA draft.
Yeah. Slam magazine.
You got Marcus Camby, Ray Allen, Marbury, Kobe, and Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
Yep.
Yeah,
some dudes.
Yep.
Do you like the NBA from that era, or do you just like the shirt?
Oh no, I just like
you
the shirt.
Old
honestly,
YouTube clips? You weren't even born back then.
No, yeah, my sister got it for me for Christmas, and it's a great shirt. So,
all right, lovely old school shirt.
I do like Kobe though.
Yeah, there's one cool with Iverson that I love that I've seen in some some stores at the mall there.
Logan has that one, actually.
Pretty cool. All right, let's talk. We got a couple minutes here. Actually, about 1 minute here, boys. Everything. This time just goes by super fast. You got great conversation. Logan, I want to talk about college, all right? Next level. Obviously, you got the rest of your year. We didn't even get into what it's going to take to win the league because I know that Fresno Christian game is going to be really tough.
Yeah, are you going to be there? Hey, are you going to be there that night?
We're going to try it.
Come on, February 9th.
Gabe Camarillo at Fresno Christian. That. All right, it's on our radar for sure. All right, Logan, so college next year, what are some options? What are you hopefully going to do next year?
I mean, the goal is to play basketball at the next level. I have one offer from Concordia in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So, yeah.
And then take it from there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're 6'4", and you're their all-time leading scorer, man. That's a great resume.
Take it one day at a time.
Absolutely. Luke, what about you?
I would love to play at the next level. Any, you know, coach or college or even JUCO, you know, I'll take any opportunity I can get. So,
what do you like to study, though? How about that? Like what?
Oh, like
what,
for school?
Like for career? How about that?
Oh, I want to go into the medical field. So I've been thinking about like nursing or biology and maybe be like somewhere in the medical field. So yeah.
Luke, or Logan, what about you?
Professional. Business.
Business guy.
Business. Yes.
All right. All right. All right. I like it. Maybe you could produce T-shirts, you know, like that.
Oh, yeah.
A great T-shirt. We were actually talking about making a clothing brand.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right, the wheels are turning.
Thinking about it, yeah.
Well, there. Logan is, for his up at Sierra, we have senior projects, and Logan's senior project is a basketball camp coming up May 18th.
Okay.
It's only $10. Mm-hmm. And
every kid gets a ball and a shirt. Third to eighth grade, boys and girls, no matter the level.
We'll make sure, Paul, that we get you a flyer.
All right.
And you can
announce it on the show.
Yep.
For sure. Yep. For sure. All right. Great conversation. And I know, Logan, shoot, I wish we had more time to talk. I know you had a lot of experiences, you know, going to camps overseas, and that's been a big part of your history with basketball as well. So, first of all, thank you guys for coming. It's been a great conversation. You guys are going to be taking on Chowchilla and Minarets next week. And then that rematch with Kingsburg, we didn't even get into that stuff next Saturday. That's going to be a big deal at Fresno Christian. So, thank you guys for coming on. Really appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
You bet. All right. Got to take a break here. Coming up, we're going to be talking with Dinuba coach Jeff Schofield here on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports, definitely the place to be here on Blackstone Avenue, just south of Herndon. Get your Letterman's jacket, get your softball equipment, baseball, basketball, heck, flag football stuff, shoulder pads, anything that you need here at First String Sports. They've been my day one sponsors. They are awesome here. Just love doing my show here. Just had a really good conversation with the Sierra guys, Coach Watt, man. He's got that great radio voice as well. And Logan Kilbert and Luke Brown, really good kids. Wish the best for them this year. Wish I had more time with those guys. They are awesome. It was a really good conversation. But, you know, this is basketball season, man. We're right in the heart of it. League has started. Dinuba High, they beat Tulare Western on the road last night, 67-59. The Emperors are 17-3 right now. Coach Jeff Schofield is on the line. Coach Schofield, how you doing on this fine Saturday morning?
Doing well, Paul. Doing great. How are you?
Doing really good. All right, so Happy New Year, right? Growing up in Dinuba, I got to ask you, man, we're Dinuba kids. We're Dinuba boys, right? Did you have any like special traditions during Christmas or New Year's, or do you guys do anything that stands out growing up in Dinuba?
Christmas, we'd always go out to my grandma's house, which is just on east of town, over by the old Kmart, and hang out there with all the cousins and stuff. So that was always a blast. Kmart's not there anymore, but that was a good time.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, Kmart is gone. That whole, what do you say, the eastern part of Dinuba, yeah, everything has exploded, right west of Dinuba. Yeah. All those places like the you know, Panda Express and IHOP, and man, we didn't have that. We just had Taco Bell, yeah, and Rocky's Diner and Lalo's Mexican food. That's all we had in Dinuba for me growing up, and then the Dinuba restaurant too.
Yeah, a lot more options now. once that big Walmart came in, everything exploded on that side of town.
And the golf course as well. That was a big time get for Dinuba. All right, let's talk basketball. So last night's win, and every road win is big, especially in your league. So what was working last night at Tulare Western?
Yeah, man, it was a good game. Tulare Western, I thought, played really well. It was a tight game, you know, 4-point game most of the way. We had one of our kids, Josiah Ochoa, was having a really nice game from beyond the arc. He was, I believe, 8-for-12 last night, and he hit some big ones down the stretch. Tulare Western's got a couple of really good scores that are just scary, to be honest. And we were able to get stops in the last 3 minutes when we needed them. You know, the kids stepped up to the free throw line and made our free throws and able to eke out the win. Yeah, the way the WYL set up this year, there's definitely no gimmies. Every night's going to be a battle.
Well, take for instance, you know, that. This, I know it wasn't a league game, but Kingsburg, you beat them by 6, 54-48. Hanford, 55-50 last week as well. And then, yeah, it seems like a lot of tight games. And then the El Diamante, you guys won in overtime, and your loss to Redwood was by 3 points. So a lot of close games that you guys have played in this year so far. Is that, you know, I mean, that's just part of the process, right? I mean, these tight games, you never know who's going to win.
Yeah, we're thankful to have them. You know, you hope you come out on the right side of them. But the way our team is kind of built this year, you know, we're a little more of a grind it out type of team this year, and so you find yourself in a lot of close games, especially with it seems like the quality of play in our area is definitely up this year. So there's going to be a lot of those games. You hope you can execute and make enough plays down the stretch to win them.
Well, I agree with you, Coach. I know coming out of the pandemic and, you know, those seasons that were cut short and, you know, numbers were down across the board. I agree with you. I think basketball has really improved, especially in the last couple of years, and this year it's really, really strong. I noticed, Coach, that you know, Dinuba hasn't had, you know, you don't rely on a dominant scorer, a kid that can get you 25 points a game. You know, you know, a lot of teams go into a game saying, man, we need 25 points from this kid. We need like 18 points from this kid, 13 from this. But your system's a little bit different. I felt like your team never has had a dominant type scorer. Is that just kind of the nature of your program? Or, you know, what's the basis of not having one of those huge scorers every year?
Yeah, you know, we try to move the ball as much as possible. We think that that's to our advantage, to keep the ball moving. And, you know, when a lot of times when you do that, you're just going, you know, the guy that's open is going to shoot it. And, you know, we've been fortunate enough to have enough good players to where, you know, if one of our better guys is not going good on a given night, other guys will step up. And that's kind of helped us this year. You know, we have three kids that have been our leading scorers. Javier Torres, he became a 1,000-point scorer last week against Kingsburg. And then Bryce Watley, Josiah Ochoa, those are our other two guys. They usually score pretty well for us, but you're right. You know, we spread it around, and it seems like it's more fun that way.
And let's say somebody wasn't familiar with Dinuba basketball and they walked into your gym on a pack night in a tough league game. Yeah, you described a little bit about how you like to get the ball to the open guy, pass, but describe to somebody that might not be familiar with your program, what would they see if they walked into a gym and watched your team play?
Yeah, shoot, I'm a Laker fan, so it hurts me to say it, but I remember when the Warriors just, you know, came on the scene years back, and it's the way they move the ball. It's like, wow, that could really play to our strength. So, you know, our rule is we're trying to pass the ball ahead, you know, get the ball off the court as quick as possible. And, you know, if the ball's moving, the defense is moving, and that's going to set up your offense to to play better that way. We encourage our guys, we empower our guys to shoot it when they're open, you know, and we shoot a ton of them in practice. So it's shots that we're getting in the game that we practice every day. So yeah, we all are a good indication of our success offensively, at least, is our assist number. You know, if we usually have an assist number anywhere 12, 15, somewhere in there, then we're pretty successful on a given night. And when we struggle when that ball's not moving as much.
Well, you guys have 17 wins against only 3 losses so far this year. And, you know, you had a lot of success last year as well. You guys went 26-5, 7-3 in league. Talk about last year. I noticed looking at your max prep schedule that you like to stay local for the most part. You guys don't go out of town to these big tournaments. What's the reasoning behind that, behind staying local and only going away for a few games?
Yeah, the main reason behind that, honestly, it's a selfish thing on my part. Honestly, I'm away from home enough, you know, with work and everything, and I like to be at home. I'm a homebody and be around the family. So that more than anything, that's the reason.
Well, all right. I'll take that. I like that answer, man. Always, yeah. Always family first. And, you know, I remember a video, Jeff, from when you guys went to the Central Section Championship game in 2019. You might be thinking where I'm going with this. And KMPH, Channel 26, and there was a video of your son, I think both your boys, the hair was dyed green, and they were just absolutely getting after it, living and dying with each possession, just upset, yelling, getting excited, all the gamut of emotions. I thought it was awesome. So out there, guys, just Google that, and you'll find this great video. Are your boys still passionate like that? I know that was, what, 4 years ago already, but are they still passionate?
Yeah, so my older son is now a freshman here. He plays on our freshman team. And my younger son, who I think was the one primarily losing his mind on that video, he's a seventh grader now. And they don't know anything other than the program. They've been around the program since they were small. You know, early mornings coming to the gym and spending the day at the gym. And so they love it. You know, that was a few years since we were there, so we're hoping we talk about it, you know, amongst our team, but we, you know, me and my own boys, we also talk about, you know, we got to get back to there. So we're hoping we can put a run together to get that way.
Yeah, we are too, man, and it's gonna be fun in a few years, Jeff, when you go back and watch those videos, and it's just a great memory for you and your family. All right, so league, you got Lemoore, Tulare Union, Mission Oak. We mentioned your win over Hanford and Tulare Western already. Like those teams, man, they each possess a different type of challenge. What are each of those teams, you know, when you eventually play those guys, what type of challenges do they present to your program?
Yeah, so we have Lemoore coming up on Tuesday at home. They're 2-0 in league, and they're, you know, they're super athletic, super quick. So that it should be a fun one. You know, their new coach is doing a great job there, and they're playing really well right now. But Lemoore is always going to come in the gym with you know, a lot of athleticism and a lot of hustle. They play extremely hard. We played Hanford last Wednesday, and they're, you know, similar type team, very big, very physical, some very athletic kids. And then Tulare Western, man, I don't know if you guys have had a chance to see them play, but they have the youngest Fisher brother now.
Yeah.
But is there, and he's electric. He can score really well. And they had another kid, Kane Garcia, who's playing really well for them. They have tons of firepower. I mean, our league, we're trying to keep it simple with our team and just tell them our goal right now is to go 1-0 because we know every night's going to be a battle. And hopefully we can come out on the right side of most of these games and be in a good spot come playoff time.
And then obviously after league is when playoffs start, and, you know, we talk all the time on air, off the air, on Twitter, social media about the playoff system, what works and what doesn't work. So last year, though, you guys had that great win against Central, right? It plays in the track.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously you guys didn't make it to the Central Section Championship game. But, you know, what I guess I should ask, what, you know, for your program, that, you know, you generally don't think, you know, Dinuba D2 program, whether it's football, basketball, or even baseball, you think a Division III type program. You know, what are the pros and cons of, you know, obviously you have experience as an athletic director as well, so you're in the know. What are the pros and cons of way the current playoff system is set in the Central Section?
Yeah, I think the main pro is, you know, the way that it's done now is every division, for the most part, I mean, once you get into your 16-team bracket, every game's going to be close. You know, every game's going to be a battle. I think you see more lower seeds upsetting some of the higher teams now, just because, you know, you're playing similar competition. I think, you know, the old way, if you were one of the better teams in your division, your first round game a lot of times was probably going to be not as difficult. But you know, if you win the championship in your given division now, you're earning it, because every four games are going to be a battle. And I think that's the main pro. Some of the cons, I love the system. I could see maybe some of the smaller schools, you know, how it could affect them adversely a little bit. But for the most part, you know, I think our section does a really good job with the way they structure the playoffs. And I think the proof is being seen, because you see a lot more competitive games.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely pros and cons to each. And, you know, with Division One now going to 16 teams, some of those teams now that were a top seed would be a top seed in Division Two are going to be bumped up to Division One. So, yeah, there's, you know, come playoff time, there's always going to be disgruntled teams and thinking they didn't get a fair shake in the seedings. Whatever playoff system you use, heck, I remember back in the days where you had to get first or second place in league to even make the playoffs, and they were predetermined. I mean, there's all kinds of wild and wacky scenarios that have gone on throughout the year. So there's never a perfect system. That's what we usually eventually say at the end. But you got to win the games that are in front of you and control what you can control, that's for sure. Do you have anything, Coach, comparable to the Little Hoopsters on Saturdays? You have Saturday programs, right, for your littles?
So we have a rec league in town that actually does a pretty decent job, and so we roll with that. And then we have our youth teams that we run in the spring, you know, like the Hustling Eagles and everyone else up in the Clovis area that we send in the springtime. But for the most part, man, my Saturday mornings are basketball free, other than watching my own kids play, which is kind of nice. You know, I give a lot of credit to the coaches that turn around after a Friday night game and come and run their little program all day the next day. But we fortunately are not in that boat, because our rec program, like I said, does a pretty decent job.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. And whatever you're doing, Coach, it's working. You guys have, you know, got a lot of wins this year, those 17 wins. You've been a consistent program throughout the years. I want to ask you about your campus. It's getting a makeover right now, right? Like, talk to everybody out there and let everybody know, like, what's being built, is what's moving where, is there going to be a new gym, like what's exactly happening in Dinuba?
Yeah, so the new Dinuba High School is being built over on Madawa Street, but over on the southwest part of town, and it's beautiful. If you drive Road 80 between Dinuba and Visalia, you get a good look at it. But that's going to be the future home of our school. I believe the plan is to be in there in the fall of 25. So next year should be our last year here at our old campus. So at that point, everything would move over there, and then our old campus is going to eventually become the junior high after some renovations. So there'll be a new gym would be at the new school. Everything will be out there, you know, athletic wise. Except probably a football stadium and a pool at the very start.
Oh, that's awesome. Things are definitely changing. I'm not great with streets either. So you could say, oh, it's by the old Thrifties, or it's by the, you know, Roseanne Viewich Park, right? You just got to think of monuments there in Dinuba to describe where things are being built. So, Coach, thanks for coming on the show, Jeff. Always great to catch up to you. Good luck the rest of the way. And, right, go Emperors.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Thanks for having us on.
You bet. All right. That was Jeff Schofield, head boys basketball coach at Dinuba High. Runs a really good program, man. We were thinking about going to a game soon. We got to catch one of those games. I know they're playing Lemoore. That's going to be a really good game. So run a really, really good program there at Dinuba. They play basketball the right way. Right way is moving the ball, shooting the ball, getting it to the open guy. it's worked for them. So good luck to Dinuba the rest of the way. All right, we take a little bit of a break. We are hoping that Coach Vance Wahlberg has come on the show. I know they're very, very busy. Got a lot of stuff going on. So hoping to catch up to Vance after the break on 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Los Angeles Lakers on your local sports leader, 1430 ESPN. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right, all right, all right. Thank you guys for listening, tuning in to the Central Valley Sports Report. Every Saturday, 10 to 12 here live at First String Sports. Had a really good conversation with Dinuba coach Jeff Schofield. He's got a good thing going on there, and Dinuba 17-3 this year after going 26-5. Now, bringing on Coach Vance Wahlberg, the head coach at Clovis West. The Golden Eagles are currently 17-3 right now, ranked number 2 in the Central Section. They defeated Clovis East last night in a game I was able to watch, 79-52. Always great to catch up with Coach Wahlberg. He's a super, super busy guy. I know they got little hoopsters going on. So, Coach Wahlberg, first of all, it's an honor and a privilege for you to come on the show. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. Thank you, and I appreciate being on.
Yeah, so little hoopsters, right? Did you sneak away to your office right now and do this phone conversation?
Yeah, I just got done. We're on our fourth hour, and I do the first 20 minutes of running them, and then they're playing games the last 40 minutes, so I got a little break right now.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And so it's always good, though, to go to Little Hoopsters the next Saturday after a win, and you did that last night against Clovis East. So really good first quarter, bad second quarter, and a great second half to pull away for a 25-point win. So how do you assess last night's game?
Almost exactly what you said. I would totally agree. We jumped out 15-2, did a really good job. Got a little bit of foul trouble and didn't handle the ball the way we should have handled it and let them cut it to 3 at halftime. They did a good job hitting some big shots, and I felt the second half, our defensive pressure really got to them, and I thought the kids did a great job. I was very, very, very pleased. It's not an easy place to play at when you go over there.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's always warm in that gym, and it was a really good crowd, student section
great
on the
crowd.
One side. Yeah, great
yeah.
crowd last night. I thought your defense really did step it up last night. The three, they cut it to 3 to go into halftime. And pretty low scoring that first half. Some ugly plays, especially in that second quarter on both sides. But yeah, you've had some great comebacks in the past. You know, the last couple of years, some games that we've broadcast on 1430 ESPN, games that you've been down 20, and it's always been predicated. Those comebacks always been predicated on the defense, right? Your defense fuels your offense, doesn't it?
Not even a question. And, for us, it's a couple of things. It's the defense. It's the conditioning. We play a lot of players. We're going to play 10 kids out there, and we do a pretty good job of keeping the other ones rested. Sometimes I screw up and don't keep my better ones rested. But I thought last night we did a really good job, and I just thought the constant pressure was really, really good. And to be able to do that, you got to have a deep bench, and we're lucky enough that we do.
Well, I know you like to do those line changes that we call it on air sometimes, where you bring in 4 or 5 guys at a time. And I even saw you rotated one of your freshmen there with your first teamers in that first half and hit a big 3. That was really cool to see. But who are some guys that you thought really played well, especially in the second half? I know DJ Stickman had some steals and some coast-to-coast things that kind of wowed the crowd. But, DJ is a great player. We'll get to here in a second. But who are some other dudes that stepped up?
Well, the guy who's been, who's kind of quiet for us is Zach John. Zach is probably our best one-on-one defensive player on the team. Every game I usually give him the other team's best player, depending on what the range is, whether it's a point guard all the way to a power forward. Very consistent on defense, and then Zach's also either a leading scorer, second leading scorer most nights. So he's a real, he's a returning first-team All-Leaguer, so you expect that from him. I thought he was very solid. I thought Chris Madro last night, Chris second half, I thought came alive, did a great job on the defensive boards and then finished some stuff inside. And then our other all-leaguer, co-MVP of the league last year, Jackson Young. Jackson's just playing really a good, steady floor game for us, which is very impressive.
Yeah, Jackson hit some threes in that great second half that you guys had. Yeah, I want to go back to Zach a little bit, and he's the type of guy, coach, that you know, you don't think he's having an exceptional game. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember a bucket here, or, you know, a three that he hit here, or a putback. And all of a sudden you look and he's got 16 points, where it felt like he only had six maybe, or nine, and then he'll have a 20-point game. And it's just, he's just one of those kind of, not necessarily a quiet kid, but just an almost an unsung type player on your team, isn't he?
He is. And what I think, what part of it, he's not flashy. You know, a lot of people look at the flash and the glitter and all that, but he's just solid and he's consistent. He just does a really, really good job for us night in, night out. You know, I like to, you know me, I'm always trying to get more out of him. I like to see him, you know, rebound a little bit better for us. But overall, I mean, he's been very, very consistent for us.
And the addition of your big guy that you mentioned, 6'9", Chris Boudreau, only a junior. I keep thinking he's a senior in my mind because he looks like it physically. He's a well-put-together young man. He had some nice put-back dunks that you guys probably love as a staff, going up strong. You know, he's almost, you could say he's like the missing ingredient that you didn't have last year as far as a big guy, rim protector, a guy that could challenge a lot of shots underneath and obviously, you know, dunk the basketball. So what's the biggest difference do you think he's made to your program?
Well, Chris, you know, we were fortunate enough, you know, that Bishop Gorman never got to play there. So, you know, physically he came in weak and kind of soft. And I was hoping by January that, you know, he would get better and better and really be a factor for us. In his first two league games, he's done a really, really good job. I think the more he believes in himself, I think the better he's going to be. You know, like you said, he is 6'9". He only weighs about a 192. We'd like to get him up to that 210, 215 range, you know, hopefully by next year. But he's getting better and better every day. Hard worker, wants to get better, and just a great kid and a great fit for what we have. You know, the kids really, really like him.
Yeah, that's a really good point you made at the end. The kids like him. I, you know, watch him on the bench, and everyone's encouraging him, and they, you know, they seem to really embrace him. That's always a good sign. You mentioned, Coach, that earlier this year that and your staff, you guys love this team. You love the way they work hard in practice. You love the chemistry, the makeup. Each player has a defined role this year, especially. You know, what makes this team stand out to you and your staff this season compared to maybe some in the past?
Well, you know the way we work, Paul. You know, each kid, I'm a big believer in what I call the basketball gods, and that the harder you work, the better things work for you. It doesn't happen all the time. And we got a lot of kids who put in a lot of time, and it's nice to see them get rewarded. I mean, you go back and forth. You know, we start sophomore point guard, and I'm on, you know, Jace to me has a lot of, Jace Kellogg's got a lot of ability, but there's times he kind of goofs around with the ball. But little by little, he keeps working. You're talking about a guy who's been in the gym all the time. He's one of those type of kids. We have a lot of them. Jackson Young's in the gym all the time. You know, it's just great to see. You know, we shoot every morning at 6:30. And my little freshman, you talked about him, Spencer Cubitt. Spencer's in the gym between 5:30, 5:45 every morning, getting another 45 minutes of shots up before we even begin at 6:30. You know, and that's, you know, he's shooting 50% from the year from the three. And that, for a freshman to come in and have that kind of confidence, it's just neat to see. It really is.
Yeah, and you, like I mentioned, you put him in with the ones. I was like, hey, number 20 is out there. And he got a nice three-pointer in that first half as well. Had one in the second half. You know, DJ Stickman, he's electric. He's athletic. He can rebound, man, in your Clovis West Nike Invitational. He had a lot of wow plays where he's defending a guy and he goes up and he grabs a rebound and he's left-handed, so he looks up the court. He can make these bullet passes or take the ball, could dunk the basketball. Do you believe that he has made the biggest leap from last year? Again, he's a junior this year. From last year to this year, is he just made, you know, his game improved by leaps and bounds?
It has. It really has. We all, you know, I'll be honest with you, I felt this way about DJ, watching him in fifth grade, that he was going to be a very special player. I don't know if DJ believed in that, but he's starting to believe in that. I don't know if you know this or the people know, his father passed away with a heart attack this summer. And it was, you know, very tough on him. And see the way he's come back and bounced back, it's just great to see. I know his dad's up above watching him. He was a big, big fan of watching DJ. So I'm really happy for him. And I'll tell you what, I think he's got a chance to make a bigger leap down the line. You know, he does, like you said, he does a lot of wild plays. What I'm trying to get him to do is be, he's got to be more consistent with the ball. He's too loose with the ball for me. He's got to become a better ball handler, but he's a kid that's going to work at it. But defensively, he is good. I wouldn't want him to guard me.
No, not at all. He's got those long arms as well, and he's stronger than what he looks. And, yeah, he's got those big old mitts, too, for hands. And, yeah, yep. So he's been an impressive player so far, a lot of fun to watch. And, Coach, you know, I've known you for a while, and, you know, back when you used to watch your games in the 90s and the late 90s and 2000s, and then your time in college and the pros, you know, you've watched a lot of basketball. We've had a lot of conversations over the years about what it means to work hard, right? There's what people think working hard is, and then there's what Vance Wahlberg's expectations are for working hard. What's the best way to summarize what you believe is working hard?
You know, I'll give you a couple of examples of my feeling. One, you're never sick during the season. I mean, I've coached 46 years. I've never missed a practice due to sickness. And I missed a couple when my mother passed away and so forth. To me, I just don't think if you're that type of a person, you just don't get sick. Now, when the season's over, I crash and I burn for a couple of days. I need to do that. I think you're also a kid who you're the first in the gym and you're the last to leave. And you're doing stuff without a coach watching. You know, a lot of people want to be in a gym, have a coach watch them, this and that. And once the coach doesn't watch, you know, they kind of take it easy. And then the special kids don't do that. You know, when I had Chris Hernandez, and you remember Chris, a lot of people should in this valley, one of the special players to come out of this school. You know, when you got your best player being your hardest worker, that's when you know you have some special teams. When your best players aren't your hardest workers, I really feel your teams will never achieve what they should. And honestly, for me, we have a lot of kids who have really put in a lot of time and a lot of effort. And you know what our goal is every year? Our goal is to win the league and to win the Valley. That's the minimum of our goal. You know, we don't make it every year, but that's definitely what our goal is.
And, Coach, where does that intensity and hard work ethic come from? Was it instilled in you at a young age? Has it just been part of your DNA? Was there perhaps a coach or a program that you were a part of where you were pushed to your limit? Or where did that come from, Coach?
I grew up, I don't know if you know, I grew up with six brothers. The first six of us were within 8 years apart. And so obviously we had no sisters. So obviously there's always competition on anything we did. You know, we get out and go. I was fortunate enough, my mom, you know, my dad worked all the time, and my mom, we only had one car, so she couldn't, you know, I never got a chance to really play baseball because you'd be at this park, at that park, if all the kids played, then she couldn't do it. So she would drop us off at the YMCA, and we would play basketball, and that's how we started to play. And then, you know, for me, I was cut in seventh grade, and eighth grade I got put on the JV, you know, what they would call the JVs. You'd be on the outside courts, and I just – something I wanted to do, and I just kept working. By the time I was a senior, I was the MVP of the league. You know, so for me, when I look at people, one of the first things I look at is what kind of heart they have and what kind of determination they have. A lot of people, you know, I don't think a lot of people believe that that's a skill. To me, that's a really big skill. Everybody looks at, can they jump? Can they shoot? Can they handle the ball? One of the biggest skills, I think, is your work ethic and how hard you get after it. So for me, that's kind of the way it's been for me.
And yeah, that's and it's evident, Coach, on how you coach your team and the expectations that you have for, you know, not only your players but your coaching staff and for, you know, your program in general. It's very evident. And I want to get your opinion, Vance, talking to Coach Vance Wahlberg, about what it takes to get to each level, right? I don't think people, the general public, really understands how tough it is to play varsity basketball from JV or even freshman, and then make the leap from varsity basketball to even JC or the Division II or Division I level, and then to the pros. People don't quite understand. What do the general population not understand about what it takes to grind it out and get to the next level of basketball?
Well, I think it's like anything else. If it's something that you really want, you're going to go after, and then when things don't go right, can you still keep plugging? You know, for some people, you may only be 5'4", 5'6", 5'7", so obviously the odds are stacked against you. You know, I'll give you an example. In Little Hoopsters, for example, we would have 120 to 140 first graders playing Little Hoopsters in our program. By the time they get to sixth grade, you're down to about 80 of them. Well, at 60 to 80, by the time you get to seventh grade, you're down to about 25 to 30 seventh and eighth graders. By the time you're a freshman, you're down to about 15 playing in the program. By the time they're a senior, you can have anywhere from 3 to 5 of those kids that were 120 to 160 as first graders playing on varsity. So you can see that, you know, it just keeps going more and more. The numbers go down to get there. Then if you're lucky enough to be able to go to junior college or go to D2 or D1 or NAIA, you know, you're that much more special. It's a lot of work. You know, for me, I never have thought, you know, I've been lucky enough in this profession for 46 years where I felt like I've never worked a day yet. You know, I've had a lot of fun for me being in shorts and tennis shoes and being in the gym. I couldn't ask for anything more.
I wholeheartedly agree, and I love it when you emerge from your office there at the Clovis West home court, and then assume your position on the sidelines and coach your team. It's certainly a blessing for a lot of people to watch you run your program. You got a new facility coming up. Is this? I'm hearing about a new facility, basketball facility.
Yes, one of my goals through the years is, and my family, I've two sons and two daughters who played here at Clovis West, and they're grown up now. In fact, shoot, my daughter's going to be 40 this week. My son's 41. Time's gone by so fast. It's a family thing. It's called Valley Athletics. We're in the process in the next 2 weeks, our facility. It's a 3-basketball court, 4-volleyball court facility. And we're going to be, you know, I don't know if you know, my son-in-law was the head volleyball coach at Fresno State. Now he's at Pepperdine. He runs a lot of the Valley volleyball program here. And then I'll be running, starting a Valley basketball program, just not for Clovis West kids or Clovis Unified. It'll be for the whole Fresno and surrounding areas. You know, for players that want to get better, kind of go through the process like I said I did. I just would find one gym to the next. So we're going to have a lot of different levels of the basketball, both boys and girls. Now, the volleyball is just girls, but the basketball is going to be both boys and girls. Well, we're going to work with the first graders all the way through the eighth and then add a grade each year till we get to the, you know, in 4 years we'll have all the way with the seniors. And then the other thing we're actually putting in the facility is we're going to be putting in pickleball courts, because I know a lot of people that's, you know, probably it's the fastest growing sport right now. So we're going to have pickleball in there also whenever we don't, you know, we're not using it for volleyball, basketball. But I think it's going to be great for this area. You know, our goal is to see how this facility goes and then go into a much bigger facility from there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've heard, you know, stuff about this, and yeah, your name attached to it. I know it's going to be a great facility. I know you got a game later tonight, Coach, at 6 p.m. You're playing Redwood to get on the road. Do I got about 5 more minutes with you, Coach?
Yep, you got it.
All right, sounds great. All right, I want to go back a little bit in time. You know, I mentioned, you know, your first stint at Clovis West in the late 90s, early 2000s. That was just such a fun brand of basketball to watch. I want to revisit those great games that you had against Compton Dominguez. You've told me the story before, and I love it, but talk about those games that you played against those programs, and, you know, going against Tyson Chandler, who there's so much talk about him being a high draft pick in the NBA, and he was, I believe, is the number 2 pick overall after his senior year. But let's revisit those games. What, you know, talk about those games and what stands out to you these days.
Wow, you're really going back. No, it was special. I don't think a lot. It's kind of like what you said, that the grind and everything you have to go through. I remember my first summer going down to L.A., taking the kids. Because when I first got here, we played in the Sanger tournament. We played in the HIT. We played in the Clovis tournament. But we never went out of the area. And when I got the job my second year, I went to our administration and says, we just need to get out of the area. We need to get down to L.A. if we really want to get the program where I think it should go. You know, so I remember we went down in the summertime, and our first game, had the O'Banion brothers of Andre Jones. We were down 39 at halftime in a summer league game, running clock, 20-minute running clock. They just destroyed us. Now, all three of those guys, two of the three were, you know, high draft picks. I think Avondre even made it in the NBA and playing Fresno State for a little bit. And then it was year after year after year of going down there, getting your rear end whipped a little bit here and there. But then finally, we started turning around because we started building our own program here. And then what happened is a lot of teams there did not want to come our way. Dominguez was nice enough to come up to our tournament. They were ranked number one in the country at the time, Tyson Chandler's junior year. And, you know, we beat them here, and our tournament was great. So his senior year, they invited us to go down just like this week in the MLK. We played down at Loyola Marymount. I remember it was Chris's and Tyrone's and my son's. I mean, we had a special team that year. And went down Loyola Marymount and played them. And they had four kids going D1. Two of them played in the pros. And we went down there and had a big-time win against them. And it was fun. The neat thing, I don't know, a lot of people know, Tyson Chandler, you know, he did play in the pros for a long time. His dad and myself were actually junior college teammates together. So it was kind of neat to see Tyson, you know, succeed and do what he did.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that part. And a lot of people don't realize either that Tyson Chandler lived in Hanford for a while, so he could have been a Valley kid if he stayed around. I did you feel, Coach, at that time, maybe that first win against Compton Dominguez, you know, or was there a moment you think where you, Clovis West and your program earned the respect of teams and players up and down the state? Is there a specific moment you could count to? Maybe it was that win against Compton Dominguez.
No, I'm going to go back to 95. I had a player named Nathan Fast, who was a fantastic player. We, you know, we won in several sections, but we could never win that first-round playoff game. Because back then, the only team that went to the playoffs out of the whole section was the number, you know, was the top, was whoever won the section championship. That was the only team going. There was no at-large berths or anything. And then you had to play, you know, you would play one game, and then you'd go down the, you know, for example, you might play Long Beach Poly on a Tuesday. You go down, play, you know, Crenshaw on a Thursday, and then Mater Dei on a Saturday. So that in 95, I remember we won the section that year. We had Fontana come into our place with a kid named Corey Benjamin, who went up and played, who played in the pros. Big-time player. We're down 13 at a half. Nathan got a steal in the third quarter, went down and just dunked it big time on them. We ended up winning by 18. And then the next round, we had to go down and play Crenshaw, who had, I think, six state titles at the time, down at Loyola Marymount, and we beat them by two. And then we ended up playing Mater Dei in the Southern State Championship that year, and they beat the poop out of us. They did it by about 25, 27. But I really felt that was the turn. And then from there, we just got better and better and better each year.
And put yourself on the map, that's for sure. And you mentioned that, you know, that great team that you had when your son and Chris and Tyrone, and now you have Tyrone on your staff as well, and that's always fun. He's kind of your main guy. He's up and chirping, and he knows exactly what you guys envision as a program. He knows what you guys want on the court. I know we could probably spend about 15 more minutes on this subject, but you know, your basketball knowledge and wisdom and what you've brought to the game is not only statewide, valley-wide, but national-wide, and you could even say worldwide with the clinics that you've put on. And that story with John Calipari that was highlighted in that great article that the late, great Grant Wall wrote and for Sports Illustrated, talking about Calipari asking you what you did on offense, and you know, took out some sugar packets, and you know what, you know, those memories that you had, you know, with those great coaches and the coaches that you've had, you know, you kept great relationships with. I mean, heck, we could even talk about George Karl. What are some of those coaches, you know, and the fraternity of coaches, you know, what does that mean to you when you could just talk with them about basketball and your relationship with some of the bigger names in basketball?
I've been very blessed and very lucky. It was 1987, I decided to go see a different coach every year. I paid it out of my own pocket. I asked my administration, can I get 5 days off? And I used, it was my own sub days, and I would visit a different coach for a week each year. I started with Bobby Knight in 1987, 80, in 88. I went to go see Lute Olson, and right down the line, I saw a bunch of coaches for about 15, 17 years. And it gave me that opportunity. And I was always one that every year I wanted to get better and better. So I would do different things, and somehow, whatever happened, you know, I was always a defensive coach, but we switched, you know, our defense, we pressed so much and put so much pressure, I had to change my offense, because what happened in practice is we would run our defense and we couldn't run our offense the way we were running it. So I had to change the offense to where it's now called the dribble drive and so forth. And that obviously opened up a lot of doors for me, with whether it's George Karl in the NBA. I mean, if you take a look at the NBA now, you'll see a lot of things that, you know, we did 20 years ago is starting to take in. You see everybody talks about numbers and all that, three-year key. You know, we were so far ahead of everybody else at that time. It's kind of neat to see. Here's a kind of cute little story. Last 2 weeks ago, I went back down to Pepperdine because my daughter lives on the campus because her husband's the volleyball coach there. So I go in, I just drive in from Arizona where we were for the tournament coming back, stepped in for a day. I get in the gym, and not more than, you know, my little ones were shooting in there. There was no practice. 5 minutes later, Reggie Miller walks in the gym with his fourth grade son. When I was at Pepperdine, Reggie was awesome. He would come by, help us and so forth. And then we were talking, he goes, Matt, he says, I'm not BSing you. About a month ago, your name came up on just how much you were so far ahead of everybody with understanding where the game is spaced and how you attack, open the gaps, and all those different things, you know. And just, again, it's just, for me, I've been, you know, lucky to be able to meet so many people like that, and it's been great for me.
And yeah, and I mean, we could talk about stories for hours and hours about you know, the people that you've been able to coach and come in contact with, and the recruiting class that you almost had at Pepperdine with, you know, with Kawhi Leonard and those guys. I mean, just great stuff. Your reach is everywhere, Coach. I want to ask you two more questions really quick. What's the greatest compliment that you've ever received as a coach?
That how hard our kids play. To me, that's probably the biggest thing. You know, when I remember in those, especially in those early years, there was coaches that would come up and say, you know, we would put six or seven players on the court to go against your pressure. That's what it felt like.
And I remember that game at the Pyramid, right? You played against Modern Day, and there was a quote at the end that said, man, I felt like, I think it was Daryl Strawberry's nephew or something like that, said, yeah, it felt like there were six or seven Clovis West defenders out there on every play. So that is very true. All right, last thing, Coach, before we wrap things up, fill in the blank here. Clovis West will win the D1 Central Section Championship if what?
We have to rebound. That's just our Achilles heel. We have got to get so much better on the boards that, you know, I look back to, you know, each game that we've lost, we've gotten destroyed on the boards. You know, we lost to Bishop O'Connell in that, in Vegas, and, you know, they're number seven or eight in the country. We're tied at half. We're down four at the end of three. And, I mean, Jackson didn't shoot the ball well. I think it was like 1-for-9 from the three. We missed a bunch of layups. We had our chances, but at the end of the game, you take a look at the stat sheet, you know, they had 19 more rebounds than us. You just can't beat a good team when you get killed on the boards. So we got to become a much better rebounding team.
All right, good stuff. Always great catching up with you, Coach. You defeated Clovis East last night. You're traveling up to Redwood, not the Redwood, Visalia, another Redwood, and then obviously you got the rest of league play and then playoffs. Coach, love chatting with you. Always appreciate you. Always have time for everybody to speak. And I appreciate you. Have a good game tonight.
Thanks, Paul. Take care. Bye-bye.
You bet. All right. We're going to take a quick break and wrap everything up here on 1430 ESPN. Good conversation with Coach Vance Wahlberg. Love that guy. Another note about him, and it's true. He would go to these other coaches, college coaches, and learn from them. And he always answers emails from coaches. Nate Oates, who's the current coach at Alabama, runs Vance Wahlberg's system. He emailed Coach Wahlberg when he was a high school coach. Coach Wahlberg answered his emails. They had conversations. Here's a high school coach asking Coach Wahlberg for advice when Coach Wahlberg was in the NBA, emailed him back, and now Nate Oates is the head coach at Alabama. Just great stuff. Always, always willing to talk. Loved him taking the time to talk to me. Thanks to Cooper Steele, Ryan Watt, Logan Kilbert, Luke Brown of Sierra High School, Jeff Schofield, head coach at Dynuma, Coach Vance Wahlberg, and Jorge Rodriguez, who helps me out, and of course, Gabe Camarillo, who directed me in the show. Great show. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to the home of the Los Angeles Lakers, KFIG Fresno, 1430 ESPN.